We had another tax reform-based bill on the floor, I think, for the second time this week.
Yes, and in fact, Senator Koenig has worked very hard to get that bill to the place where we could pass it. Although there were a number of provisions that he had hoped to have in there, the bill still is going to have significant impact on Missouri. The main two elements in that bill are the corporate tax cut and then what we call apportionment, which is, to people who aren't familiar with corporate tax policies, it has to do with how a corporation's taxes are distributed between states when it operates in multiple states. And what Senator Koenig has done with that bill is he has reduced corporate tax rates from 6.5% to roughly 3.5%, which is a pretty significant reduction and will have a major impact on Missouri's attractiveness to corporations, both expansions and also corporations moving here and establishing a base here. The other part of that is called apportionment, and that has to do with how a corporation distributes its income taxes between the states in which it operates. All Senator Koenig's bill does is mandate a particular approach to that, and it's very similar to what's done in probably 20, 25 other states, and it will make us much more competitive in Missouri, and it brings in considerable revenue from those corporations that are not based in Missouri but actually have operations in the state. It turns out it's relatively neutral revenue-wise. The revenue to the state will be roughly the same as it is now, but it's a much better tax policy, and I think there are two things we should always look at anytime we're dealing with tax policy. One is whether it improves policy or makes policy worse, and the other is what it does to the revenue.
In committee this week, there was a bill that addresses 911 in the state.
We have a really disjointed system of emergency calls, 911 calls in Missouri, and everybody has acknowledged that for years. The question has always been, how do we fund that? A few years ago, some of us worked in the Senate to try to come up with an approach that, rather than just funding the system as it is, we tried to figure out what would be the system if we were starting with a blank page. Senator Wallingford has worked very hard to try to do that. We had a commission that was named and had a rigorous study that was done on how you should implement emergency services in Missouri. That report has been turned over to the Commerce Committee, and we've reviewed that. We've checked this House bill against that. I think it's consistent with that. I still have some serious problems with how the funding issue is handled in the bill, but I am very supportive of that part of the bill that helps to set out a backbone structure of how we will be handling and managing emergency calls across the state, particularly from cell phones, since that's where most of those emergency calls come in from. So I'm encouraged by the bill. I don't know that I'm encouraged to the point of voting for it yet because of my concerns over the funding mechanism. But if it passes, I think it will set in place a pattern that, however we fund it, we'll be spending our money much more effectively in terms of getting people the help that they need in an emergency.
This week, obviously, the big news surrounding the executive branch.
Yes, and certainly the whole state is saddened, maybe discouraged by what's happened. I don't think any of us would have liked to see anyone, least of all our governor, be involved in the kind of, I guess, imperfections that we're seeing become very visible. I know we all have imperfections. Most of them are not as visible as this makes the governor's, and most of them are not as egregious as this appears to be. I've received calls, you know, asking for actions to be taken. Certainly, if there were any actions taken, they have to be begun in the House. I think the House is basically saying, you know, we're going to wait a little while, do some more investigating before we decide exactly what steps to take. And I think that's a wise move on their part. I was very pleased with how the Speaker of the House handled his press conference yesterday. I thought he did very well in terms of explaining what the committee's charge was, how they fulfilled that charge, and now what the next steps would be. I do think that this brings us face to face with a problem that we can just no longer ignore, and that is the problem of pornography. I cannot imagine that this happened without any influence from the pornography industry. Pornography has so invaded society and the minds of men and women, particularly men, and it does create imaginations and thoughts that shouldn't be there. Ultimately, those may be acted out, and we see that across the board. I recently read an article in Frontline, a publication of the Constitutional Coalition, talking about the Parkland School District and the shooting that happened there and how that was influenced by some of the curriculum there that has to do with an absence of any basis for sexual morality. And I think as we abandon the mores of society and moralities that most of us grew up with, we're going to continue to see imaginations that are acted out. It's just that when they're acted out at the level of empowerment that a governor represents, we can no longer ignore them. And I think it's time we took them seriously.